Men's metabolic health can influence almost every facet of their overall health and well-being, as it can be tied to the influence it has on insulin and body hormones. Whether it be problems such as decreased libido or increased weight gain, lifestyle changes associated with metabolic health can be the answer to many of men's health problems. We sat down with Ogden Clinic medical weight loss specialist Dr. Ron Rigby to talk about how men specifically can focus on metabolic health changes to see positive results for their life. Welcome to The Daily Diagnosis, a healthy lifestyle podcast provided by Ogden Clinic. We're your prescription for health-centered conversation, stories, and advice. I'm Parker Shaw, and with the help of my team and featuring the talented providers of Ogden Clinic, you'll reach a positive prognosis for your podcast addiction by listening to The Daily Diagnosis.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning into this weekly episode. This is Parker from Ogden Clinic's marketing team, and I'm joined today by Dr. Ron Rigby, who's one of our metabolic health specialists for Ogden Clinic. And Dr. Rigby, can you introduce yourself a little bit for our audience that's not been here before?
Yes. I'm Dr. Ron Rigby. I am a board-certified physician in both family medicine and obesity medicine, which can definitely play a role in metabolic health. I'm located in Layton, Utah, and in our department, we have a nurse practitioner who's also at MKD. So we can serve you at both locations, but with the ability of telemedicine, we can serve you from anywhere.
Which is awesome, especially during these weird, uncertain times. We've loved having telemedicine and happy that you can use it too with your patients. So Dr. Rigby, just so that our audience can get to know you a little bit, thanks for telling us about the locations that you're at. Can you tell us a little bit about how long you've been here at Ogden Clinic and everything like that?
I was a family practice in the local area that joined Ogden Clinic now. So I've been in the area for about 13 years, but joined Ogden Clinic 5 years ago when we merged with Ogden Clinic. And then at that time is when I really expanded into the obesity medicine or the metabolic aspect.
Awesome. And I think that's maybe a word or a phrase that's maybe a little bit newer, is calling, you know, medical weight loss or weight loss or, you know, metabolic health and referring to it at that. Can you describe why it's referred to in that way, or if it has a different meaning when you call it metabolic health?
Metabolic health is basically looking at how different systems in your body work together, and also a different aspect of how hormones are basically protein-based structure or communication systems released from certain cells to go tell other cells how to function or what to do. Most of us will think of our sex hormones, our testosterone or estrogen or progesterone, maybe your thyroid. But we have lots of different hormones, and this is very limited, but it could be your insulin or your glucagon or your cortisol or your norepinephrine or ghrelin or leptin or PYY or CCK or GLP-1. So how your body communicates in all these different ways, and how a lot of people think of metabolic health as how effectively burning energy. So all of that different definitely affects us. But other aspects, unfortunately, a lot of times when we're talking metabolic health, we think about below the neck. Well, actually, a lot of the mental aspects can be how your brain's using the energy that could affect depression, anxiety, and things like that.
Awesome. Well, that was a great definition. Thanks for breaking that down for us. And as we kind of discussed prior to starting recording, metabolic health has a lot of different ways that it can be implemented in the different areas and treatments, like you said. And specifically this month, we are really putting an emphasis on men's health awareness because it is Men's Health Awareness Month. And so we wanted to get some feedback from you and some input on how metabolic health will affect certain aspects of men's health. And if you don't mind, I think we can start with that. How does metabolic health affect certain aspects of men's health?
Well, it affects every aspect of the body. So from the brain function to cardiovascular, muscle, skeletal, the GI, every system in your body gets affected by this. And a lot of times I focus a lot of times on the insulin aspect, which helps regulate the blood sugar. However, every cell in your body gets affected by the insulin. So every system in your body and every problem could be tied back to insulin, since insulin affects every cell.
Right. And for, you know, just normal people, insulin is primarily, you know, I guess we kind of feed that to ourselves through our diet, Am I correct when I say that?
Yeah, most people think about with insulin as for diabetes, either type 1 who something's happened to them where their body does not produce insulin, so we have to give it to them, or a poorly controlled type 2 diabetic where we're not having to give them insulin. Well, a lot of times in those type 2, they actually produce a lot of insulin and their body doesn't respond to it, so we now give them more. So I look at it as how the different cells are affected by the insulin. And my goal is to actually try to lower the insulin through combination of lifestyle changes, which include diet, exercise, stress management, sleep. And in men, it definitely can affect a lot of different things, from depression, from muscle mass loss or muscle weakness, fatigue, depression, decreased libido or lack of sex drive, erectile dysfunction, enlarged prostate, low testosterone. All of those can definitely be affected by the insulin.
That's so interesting. And it's crazy that you mentioned almost every men's health problem that we're addressing this month. And it's crazy that insulin has, you know, can have that effect on so many aspects of our health, like we talked about. So one of my questions that I wanted to ask was, what steps should men take to make sure that their metabolic health or their insulin levels are in check?
Well, the quick, easy one is eat a healthy diet. Well, that's always kind of tricky because there's a variety of different ideas of what a healthy diet is. And again, a lot of people I'm old, so I go back to the traditional food pyramid, which mostly carbohydrates, trying to limit the fats, which does help for somebody who is insulin sensitive, meaning their cells respond to their insulin, therefore their insulin level doesn't go up very high. And when the blood sugar is controlled, it comes down better. So about 15% of the general population fits into that. So if that works for you, great, do it. However, more and more of it becoming more insulin resistant or more metabolically sick. So eating mostly carbohydrates, which will bump up your insulin, and you already produce a lot of insulin, can make it worse. So that's where a lot of times the idea of a Mediterranean-based diet, which is kind of in the middle, lower your carbohydrates, be smarter with it, cutting back some of the refined carbohydrates, has shown to be beneficial. But some of us who are more drastically or more insulin resistant need to go more aggressive to maybe a lower carb-based diet, or even kind of the trendy diet now, the ketogenic diet, which is more extreme, where we're cutting back on the carbohydrates, adding adequate amount of protein, but more fat, or even the more popular one or becoming more trendy now, the carnivore diet, where you're basically just eating meats and fats, basically nothing that basically comes from a plant-based component.
It's crazy. Yeah, there are so many different ways to look at about like what healthy eating looks like to one person or another and how that can change. So you mentioned why, I guess a follow-up question to that is, what would make someone's insulin levels be different? You know, is it just our genetics, or is it just kind of how we're made? What causes changes in that for men especially?
Yes and yes.
Both of them.
So a couple of things. One can be the genetics, and that's when I look at it. I'm looking at their family history of diabetes, heart disease, elevated cholesterol, obesity, those types of problems, patients with family history of low testosterone, cancer, all that makes me think of more insulin resistant states. Now, when men have those problems, having the bigger quote unquote beer belly or the bigger belly type thing with more weight and it's harder, firmer, so the fat's more deep to the muscle or visceral fat, puts them at higher risk. If they've been told that their testosterone's low, or they're concerned that their testosterone's low, or if they've had a lot of weight issues where they're now on a CPAP machine or multiple different sleep machines to help, or any of those type of problems, or if you've been placed on medications for high blood pressure, high cholesterol, multiple joint pain, osteoarthritis, enlarged prostate, all of those can be signs of that insulin resistance. And people who are insulin resistant, when they eat foods that break into sugar, will bump up insulin, but they're going to produce more insulin. And insulin is a growth hormone causing cells to grow, which causes weight gain.
Interesting. So, and that could just be different for everybody. That's so crazy to me. But I mean, it makes sense. We all have different body types and different, I guess, what you would call problem areas. And so I think it makes sense why, you know, why everything would be different. So for men's health awareness, one thing that it does, you know, really say to emphasize is just kind of some things that we talked about, which is, you know, diet and exercise. That's kind of a main point that we highlight during this month. And I know that sometimes can feel like an overwhelming thing for people that maybe haven't been practicing that for some time. If what advice would you give a patient or any of the men listening or women even at that? What's a good place to start?
I always start with the diet, just because the fuel we're putting in our body definitely affects how everything looks at. I always use a stupid analogy of a car. So when should you put gas in the car? Usually when the light comes on. Again, there's recommendations of different things, but usually when the light comes on. How much should when should you stop putting gas in the car? When you're done or when it pops off. But the most important part is putting the right type of fuel. If I have a car that's unleaded and I'm really just all that's available is diesel, that doesn't work very well. Even though I'm putting fuel in, my engine doesn't burn very well. And that's where a lot of these metabolic problems come from, is us putting in the wrong type of fuel. So that's why I always start with trying I can make the argument that I think everybody should be on a low carb ketogenic based diet, but basically start by backing off on the refined carbohydrates. Get back off on some of the, what a lot of us will call carbage, or basically processed food. So the chips, the crackers, the pasta, the bread, everything that breaks into sugar that doesn't come from fruits or vegetables, basically, try to start backing off on that. And if that's not enough, that's where, and again, if you're hungry with that and they go, oh, I'll just add more sugar. Well, again, all that breaks into sugar. If you're not getting the sugar, we need a fuel source. A lot of times you go, oh, I'll just add more protein. Well, protein's a fuel source, but it's not a direct, easy-to-use fuel source. Adding more healthier fats can be. And they go, wait a minute, fat has more calories. And we've always been talking about, it's all about calories. Well, a calorie is a man-made interpretation of a unit of energy. Your body doesn't understand the whole concept of a calorie. Right. I can put 1,500 calories of simple refined sugars, the ones I'm talking about getting rid of, and it's going to shoot your insulin through the roof. If I put 1,500 calories of a Mediterranean or a low-carb or a ketogenic-based diet, yes, it's going to bump up your insulin because all of the fuel is going to bump it up a little bit, but it's not going to bump it as high. So it's not the number of calories. It's the quality of the calories that we're more worried about. So start with that. And if that's not enough, that's where other key factors, that's where exercise comes into play. That's where stress management comes into play. Sleep habits come into play. All these different factors definitely help. But if you're going, oh, I'll just go to the gym and then stop and eat fast food and eat crappy diet and not get sleep, don't waste your time by going to the gym. So all these different factors play a role. But I always go back to putting the right type of fuel is the first and most important aspect.
Right. And I think that's a great place to start. I think sometimes people might flip-flop that. You, like you mentioned, you know, I think even I myself have been in that where I'm like, well, I can just start exercising more and then I can eat whatever I want. But I think, you know, the fuel, like you mentioned, is so important and a great first simple place to start for those that are listening today. So kind of as a follow-up question or a different question, are there any sort of telltale signs or symptoms that men should look out for when deciding that, okay, it's time for me to make a change?
So again, part of it is just not feeling good. So that could be fatigue, that could be joint pain, that could be brain fog, that could be you're going, I'm gaining weight, or I'm doing the things I normally did to lose weight and I'm not seeing that. Or somebody's like, you don't look very good, or something's going on that you just don't feel like yourself. Those are can be some early signs. Or if you go in for your physical and the doctor says, oh, have you noticed you gained weight? Or your blood pressure's been a little higher. Well, I want to put you on some medication. Or they do some blood work and they go, oh, maybe your cholesterol's out of whack. Or this sign's out of whack. Or your testosterone's on the lower side. Or maybe your thyroid's maybe not quite where I'd like it to be. All these, that's the reason we do all this blood work, is to kind of get an idea of what's going on inside that you don't always present or you feel. But a lot of times when we listen to the patient, they go, I feel like this and this and this, and we do the blood work and it shows this. It's like, well, that correlates because you have these abnormalities and that correlates with your symptoms. Let's do something about it. But unfortunately, a lot of times we go, okay, just modern medicines, okay, let's give you a pill. Well, unfortunately, those pills always have potential side effects. And again, I'm all on board with medicine, don't get me wrong. And don't stop medication without talking to your doctor, so keep that in mind. But maybe there's some other things we can do to help us get going in the right direction. Or if your doctor says, we've got these problems, and goes, okay, I want to put you on a pill. It's like, well, can we try some other lifestyle changes first? Maybe we follow up and do my blood work again in about 2 to 3 months. That gives me some motivation to try to make some of these changes and set up the appointment and even have the labs ordered. So, okay, in 2 months, I'm going to get my blood work done. So that's my motivation to try to make it. Because a lot of times we go, oh, it's just day in and day out. I go to work. I come home. I do my typical things on the – it's just life happens, especially this year. It's like everything's a mess. But we don't have that goal or that motivation to change. And when we have that, okay, we got 2 months to do this, that gives us a little bit more motivation.
Perfect. I think that's great. And some really awesome, I think just warning signs, I think men should look for, especially like you mentioned, the fatigue or the weight gain or any of those that you mentioned. I think those are super valid. Thanks for touching on those. So when do you think men should consider seeing a specialist like yourself with aspects regarding metabolic health, or when they're wanting to make a change?
Couple times. One is if you go to your family practice or your PCP and they're bringing up some of those numbers, oh, your weight's going up, or you've got these issues, or you don't feel very good, or you go look at your family, you go to, like, since it's getting towards the end of the year, or maybe it's family holidays, and you walk in, it's like, I listened to that podcast with Dr. Rigby, and I look around and everybody in this room has some of those problems, and I have that genetics and I don't want to go there. Maybe I need to do something about it. And I've tried some of those things and it's not working. That's when coming to see me might be worthwhile, because I might be able to have some different tools or different techniques. And maybe that's the point where we do add some medicine to help in a certain way that might help us go in the right direction. So hopefully we can eventually get down on the medicine so we can get you off the medicine long term and get you healthier. And one thing we didn't bring up with any of this stuff is a huge growing problem nowadays is fatty liver. So again, your liver functions being out of whack, or if you unfortunately go, oh, it's all alcohol. We're now seeing more because of the dietary effects that we're seeing levels of elevated liver function and fatty liver type issues. So if you were told that your liver functions are out of whack and you don't drink alcohol and you don't have a history of any type of infection that would cause that, that's another warning sign you need to be worried about.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's kind of crazy to hear. Well, thank you so much for touching on those points too. Wrapping it up, Dr. Rigby, what would you say is the most important takeaway that somebody listening to this podcast, especially our male listeners, should consider when considering their metabolic health during Men's Health Month, especially?
Well, first of all, if you're concerned about your health, that's a warning sign. Or if your significant other or family members are bringing up something that you're not noticing or you're not feeling all that well, that's a concern that you need to be in and get checked out. Or if you do go in and some of those labs are out of whack, those are all warning signs. Or you go, everybody in my family starts having these and I'm looking to like that and I don't want any of those things, those are also warning signs. But my summary, I always tell people really basically, is the three basic things I want people to get out of it. One, eat when they're hungry. Two, stop when they're content. Not till they're stuffed, not till the plate's empty, not till the party's over, not to hit my calorie count, but wait till my body says I'm done. But the most important part, eat the right foods, put the right type of fuel in. And again, that's where some of the things that we talked about. And if you're not sure, that's where talking to your PCP or maybe come and see me or my nurse practitioner, McKD. We're here to help you.
Perfect. That was a great sum up. I like those three points. Thanks for sharing those. Well, I guess we'll just wrap things up then. This again, for our audience listening, has been Dr. Ron Rigby, one of our metabolic and weight loss specialists for Ogden Clinic. And as he mentioned, they have an office in Layton, but also he has a specialist that helps at McKady Hospital in Ogden as well. For more information about Dr. Rigby or for Ogden, any information regarding metabolic health or men's health, you can find that all at ogdenclinic.com. Well, Dr. Rigby, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Awesome. And for everyone tuning in, thanks for listening to The Daily Diagnosis.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of The Daily Diagnosis. We're so happy that you joined us today. If you would like to find more information about Ogden Clinic, our providers, or locations, visit us at ogdenclinic.com. If you're listening today from Apple Podcasts app, make sure you leave us a review or subscribe so you can receive more information about the different episodes that we post. We love getting feedback from our audience, so those reviews are priceless to us. If you also would like to shout us out on social media, our Instagram handle is at Ogden Clinic. You can also send us a DM if there's a topic that you would like our providers to cover, and we really look forward to hearing from you. We post episodes weekly, so tune in next week, and we can't wait to be with you again. Have a great week.